You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now. You're dressing with class, well, you needn't. You're holding your sass, well, you needn't. You think you're a gas, well, you needn't.
And good afternoon, Richmond. You are listening to The Defenders Live, and I am your host, Anna Edwards. And today, I would like to welcome a couple of guests. I'm really excited. We're continuing with our monthly series, speaking to members of the African Community Network, but also from a member nation of the ACN. And before we jump into that, I want to let you know that Defenders Live is a production of the Defenders for Freedom, Justice, and Equality, and that you can learn more at www.defendersfje.org. And you can tune in to this show live at wrir.org and just click on Listen Live. Well, today I'm really pleased to be able to welcome two more members of ACN. One is Osita Iroebu, and the other is Rose Ndani. And the member nation that they represent is Nigeria. And this will be I think this is now the second in the interview series where we get a very brief, as we find out, introduction to different nations in Africa. In part because it's not information that comes to Americans very often. And Richmond's African community is growing, and it's been very exciting to see the growing impact of those communities on Richmond. So I'm really pleased to be able to offer at least this cursory introduction and hope to develop it into something more. In the meantime, welcome, Osita.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be here.
Great. And welcome, Rose.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here as well. Thanks.
Great. Well, I wanted to start with Osita, you talking a little bit about the African Community Network and your role with that organization. And then from there, we'll go to you, Rose, and we'll talk a little bit about Nigeria. Okay. Go ahead, Rose. Tell us about your work on the Education Committee. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And again, as you mentioned, the African Community Network is an organization, a fairly new nonprofit organization that aims to help African immigrants and their families living in the greater Richmond area. That's Chesterfield, Henrico County, Richmond, the Tri-Cities area, et cetera, throughout the entire state of Virginia, actually. And one of the things that we want to do is serve as somewhat as a resource guide to them, provide them with information about education, health, advocacy, social, cultural issues, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And also to help bridge that gap that exists between the African community and the African American community, because we know how detrimental that has been over the years. So we want to serve the role of bridging the gap and educating people to inspire one another to learn from the different cultures that are around us. And again, I am chairperson of the Education Committee. And one of the things that we try to focus on is, again, bridging that gap. And what we do is go out into the communities to several schools, community organizations, neighborhoods, universities, et cetera, and talk to students, adults, residents about ACN, about the African culture, all that it entails, history, and allowing them to understand that we are all one. That's the thing. Unfortunately, too many times we see each other as opposites or as mm-hmm. being different,
right.
But to understand that we are all one, and to inform and instill in especially our youth today, our African-American youth, that they have a really rich and powerful culture and history.
Right.
And if only we could learn that and then implement that into our communities and into our daily lives, we would be so much stronger.
Okay.
So that's our goal of the Education Committee.
I think that's really exciting, and I think it's really relevant. And I think what I liked about it, as soon as I heard about it, what I liked about it was bringing to African-American people and people in general a contemporary view of Africa, and not just, you know, it's like as soon as people start thinking about Africa, it's a throwback. You know, it's always about the past.
That's right.
And an understanding the contemporary lives and dynamics of Africans, and, you know, how very relevant it is to African-Americans in this time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
right. Moving forward, it's all about learning about your past and allowing it mm-hmm. to push you and propel you forward mm-hmm. to change and prosperity.
Yeah, right, right. So, Rose, how long have you been in Richmond?
Let's say I've been in Richmond for 11 years now.
11 years, okay. Yes. So you've had a pretty good sampling.
Yes.
It can take
course.
A while. I came to Richmond just from New York, and I've been here for 20 years, and it seemed like it took at least 10 or 11 years to feel like I knew my way around, and
right.
you know
mm-hmm.
people, you know what this place is. So I can empathize. When we're talking about now, were you part of the founding of ACN?
No, I actually started a few months back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's relatively new for you.
Yes.
And are you working with OSITA in the education committee?
Actually, I'm the advocacy chair right now.
Okay, so. And tell us about the advocacy group and what do they do?
Basically, our main goal is to influence our community by, you know, helping them as well, volunteering, and also bringing women voice as well.
Good.
Because, you know, so far I notice men a lot in the ACN meeting. We need more women to come out
right.
and voice out and help out the community as
right.
well.
Right.
Yep.
I was at the soccer game on Saturday afternoon, and I got there and I was like, here we go again. It's like mostly men out here. I said, I'm going to start getting in trouble if I keep showing up at meetings full of men. You know, it's like, so I keep saying, you know, so explain the dynamic. Why do we see more men at these meetings and at these, you know, more public events than we tend to see women?
Well, we can go back, like in Africa time. Like, let me say, take Nigeria, for example. You know, we tend to see men as much more dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we let them speak out, and we being the wife, we just sit and listen. But, you know, thank God for this ACN, you know, at least it will bring out more women.
And the men seem to be open to that idea
yes,
as well.
You know.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know how hard they're pushing, but they seem to be open.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is interesting. When I was in Mali, I sort of got this, it was sort of the same dynamic. Most of our meetings were primarily men. But if you ask them about the women, they were very, you know, much, well, we have this person and this person and this person. And we did have a few women who were with us for several of the meetings, but still tended to be a little more quiet, and the men were taking the lead.
Right.
So it left me feeling like when we go back, I'm going to have to deliberately seek out the women's groups and women's activities and things, and really, really sort of push to do that.
Good idea. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm here. The way you're both nodding, I'm getting the sense that it's probably going to be the same here. Is that we're really going to have to push deliberately to find or to connect with the women's networks. But I also get from the men as well that once you do, the women's networks are very strong.
True.
So tell me about the women. What are the women doing?
Basically, you know, so far we had two women that just joined, and we're trying to reach out to the other women that mm-hmm. previous joined, and we didn't see them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're reaching out to them to come out.
Is it different in different communities? Like, say, with the Ghanaians or the Senegalese or the Sudanese or the Nigerian community, is it, are some of the women organized in and of themselves? Are there, like, organized groups that meet, or is it still the individual contact with women in the home?
Yeah, so far it's individual contact with women in the home.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you may also have smaller women's groups, African women's groups, meeting together mm-hmm. as well within those different countries, different sects.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of African women who come to the area, they braid hair.
Right.
And so they work in braid shops. They own their mm-hmm. own shops. Mm-hmm. And so they have very strict and stringent schedules because you have gotcha. A whole, right, you have an abundance of clients that you have to get to, and that's your work, that's your career, that's mm-hmm. your livelihood. So they're very, you know, very, very hardworking. And so they're on a very strict schedule. So sometimes it may not be as flexible as they would want it to be.
Gotcha.
But as Rhodes mentioned before, we had several women come out at one of our last meetings to actually learn a bit more about the ACN. And they said that they would actually start to mobilize other women and community members, et cetera, mm-hmm. to start being active and involved in the organization.
And maybe it's not so much that they have to come to like the monthly meeting,
right?
It's, you know, the ACN can go to them,
exactly,
right. And they can send us email if they want to voice out their opinion. Yeah. Because there was this lady I was talking to the other day. She said she had 3 kids and she find it very hard, you know, because she don't have babysitter and the economy for right now, mm-hmm. you know, puts them in that situation not
right.
to be able to pay, you know, babysitter and so forth. So we're finding a way if they can use emailing us,
mm-hmm.
you know, and let us know.
Right,
their
sure.
opinion.
Sure, sure.
And we've gone out to different groups as well, as you mentioned, the advocacy component, going out, talking to different groups, mm-hmm. men's and women's groups,
right.
to inform them about the ACN and go there with open and welcoming arms.
Right.
And we think that that's made a world of difference so far. But we're still trying to get people involved.
Yeah.
We want to help the community, so we need to know that there are people out there, you know, who need our services, and they're definitely there, but we also need people to continue to be leaders,
yeah,
as well and be
yeah.
active.
Yeah, and I would imagine if you're going out to schools, then that's one way, is you're connecting with children, you're connecting with teachers, and that's a good way to extend it out into the community as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do, you know, as we're talking about ACN, but we're going to sort of narrow this down and get to talking about Nigeria. You're both from Nigeria, and Osita, you sound like you've been here longer.
Actually, I've been here for 30 years.
Okay.
I'm 30 years old.
Okay.
So I was born here.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm first generation Nigerian American.
Okay.
My father was born and raised in Nigeria.
Okay.
And actually, I had the honor of visiting my family there for the very first time 2 summers ago. I went for an entire month and got to visit my family in the village. We're Igbo,
mm-hmm.
so it's one of the main cultural groups mm-hmm. in Nigeria.
Okay.
And we are, our group, the Igbos, are located in the southeastern part of the country.
Okay.
And I got to meet my grandfather, who's a chieftain of 9 villages there.
Oh my.
So that was a world of experience,
yeah.
That I was able to take with me. But it was interesting hearing their voices over the phone through static for so many years,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then finally being able to cross the ocean and be right there in the village, standing on the sand amongst millions of palm trees, you know, and hear my right. grandfather's voice as he's standing in front of me. So that was a life-changing experience for me. And Nigeria is such a beautiful country, as Rose can attest.
It
she's
is.
Been there
yes.
for years compared to my 1 month.
Yeah, so let's get our introduction. And I know they're going to make me do a station break in a minute, but tell us about, are your people also Igbo?
No, actually, we're from River State.
Okay.
You know, born and raised in River State.
And where is that?
Is in Nigeria.
Where?
It's like in eastern part of Nigeria.
Okay.
So basically, I'll be giving you a brief history of Nigeria.
Okay, great.
Though there is an archaeology evidence that society have been living in Nigeria for more than 2,500 years, the border of modern Nigeria were not created until the British consolidated their colonial power over the area in 1914. Okay. More than 250 ethnic tribes call present-day Nigeria home. The three largest and most dominant ethnic group are the Hausa, Yoruba, and Igbo. And then the smaller group include the Fulanis, the Ija, Kulani, Ibibio, Tivi, Edo, and River State as well. Nigeria is West Africa along the eastern coast of the Gulf of Guinea and just north of the equator. It is bordered on the west by Benin and on the north by Niger and Chad, and on the east by Cameroon. Nigeria covers an area of 356,669 square miles, which is 923,768 square kilometers, or about twice the size of California, you can say, for instance.
That's good. That's helpful. Yeah.
So Nigeria has three main environmental regions: savanna, tropical forest, and coastal wetland. These environmental regions greatly affect the cultures of the people who live there. The dry, open grassland of the savanna makes cereal farming very hard. And then the Hausa and the Fulani as well. It makes, you know, with the dry weather, it makes it very hard for them to farm. The wet tropical forests of the south are good for farming fruits and vegetable, main income. And then other area, the smaller ethnic groups living along the coast, such as the Ija and the Calabar, are forced to keep their village small due to lack of dry land, living among creeks, lagoons, and salt marshes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. And when we look at the politics, politically, Nigeria is divided into 36 states. The nation capital was moved from Lagos, which is now Abuja, so which was on December 12, 1991.
Very recent.
Yes, very recent. Nigeria has the largest population of any Africa country. In July 2000, Nigeria population was estimated as at more than 123 million people. So that's a lot. At about 345 people per square mile, it is also the most densely populated country in Africa. Nearly one in six Africans is in Nigeria, or they're from Nigeria.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can attest to that.
Yeah.
And, well, for me, basically where I'm from, which is River State, you know, there's this land area we have, which is called Ogoni.
Okay.
You know, it's known from petroleum. So Nigeria is known for petroleum.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nigeria is very good in agriculture as well. So this Ogoni land, fishing and farming is their main occupation.
Okay.
So that's the land I'm from.
Okay.
So they're going through some tough situation now because the oil, once they come and drill the petroleum, it messes the environment, and it kills the fish, and it destroys the crops.
Right.
So they're going through a lot. So the Ogoni rose internationally attention after a massive non-violence protest campaign against Shell because of the mess of the oil. So the movement for the survival of the Ogoni people is called MOSOP, and the leader is Kent Sara Wiwa. So based on that protest, so they became like there was an ethnic conflict in which they were drove from. Most of that people ran away. They also drove a lot of people. So we have refugees as well.
Right.
So if there's any way we can put them in prayers, you know,
and
show them our support, that we really care for humans, you know, we care for the people. So if any of you want to learn more about the Ogoni people, you can go to the website at www.mosop.org. They're a non-profit organization.
And that's M-O-S-O-P?
Yeah, okay. It stands for the Movement for the Survival of the Ogoni People.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
And that's .org?
Yes.
Okay. And that's very good. You probably have done the best job so far of being able to talk about, you know, the geography and the climate and the different peoples, and then bring it right back to what may be the most critical social issue
right
now, which is that struggle for the Ogoni people. And that's important because as people here are talking about, you know, it's an automatic connection. If you're talking about the struggle with oil, and the way that it abuses the people in a given area, at least in terms of it being Shell. Shell is not a Nigerian company.
Right.
You know, it's a U.S. company, and it has come in, and it is extracting resources, and it is leaving behind this kind of devastation.
Right.
And, you know, over and over again, we think that we should be over this kind of process. There should be smarter, better ways of doing this, smarter contracts that are not, you know, simply exploitive of, you know, of the region, but should be helping the region.
True.
And yet over and over again, the story is the same, that it seems to be necessary to the way the systems exist now, that it has to be exploitive. And the conflict seems to be necessary. It's very interesting when you think about it. It's like, in order to make money, you know, in order for the oil business to thrive, we have to exploit. There has to be human, you know, human consequences.
Right.
And that's very frustrating when we think
we're trying to
be better people mm-hmm. all the time. Right.
And one of the most ironic things is that Nigeria, being the most populous country in the continent of Africa, is one of the top three providers of oil to the United States.
That's right.
Correct.
Yet it's still a developing nation.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, with all of the natural resources, including the petroleum,
mm-hmm.
why the country is still developing. Why is it not a developed country at this point?
Yeah.
And you mentioned the raping and it's, you know, of the natural resources,
mm-hmm.
the taking advantage of the natural resources. Mm-hmm. When you have the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, that gets international attention. But the spilling that's been going on in Nigeria for years
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
has completely destroyed the livelihood of the farmers, the fishermen, the fisherwomen, the communities that live along the Delta area of Nigeria, you don't hear about that.
Right.
And you wonder why, you know, when so many lives have been lost and people can't afford to find food or to buy food or to go toward any other type of occupation because they've been in this
mm-hmm.
in this field for forever. It's mm-hmm. been a family business almost
for
many people living along the coastal line in Nigeria. However, you know, focus the attention on the U.S. and the job gets done. People start to pour resources, money, attention, the mm-hmm. media clamors all over it. When again, it's been happening in Nigeria for years. So we have to bring attention to the issue that Nigeria, again, being one of the most prosperous nations in the world when it comes to oil, you know, is not the people of the country. That's what's important.
That's
the people
important.
Are not being benefited by the natural resources of their nation.
I think that's that term underdevelopment, and it's a deliberate process that's done, and it is quite remarkable. And it's quite remarkable that that, you know, our knowledge base is not, we know these things. We know these things. And so then it becomes, how do we engage this once we know it? How do we engage it in such a way that we can begin to impact it? One of the pieces, I think, is going to be unity, is going to be to recognize that just as the Ogoni are struggling very directly in this and identifying different peoples around the world, including in areas in the United States where similar exploitation goes on, like in the coal mining country, you know, in places like that, mm-hmm. that if we can start to get all these people connected to each other, that they will recognize that they have something to gain by supporting each other's struggles. And specifically, it's this, you know, exploitive extraction of natural resources, which goes to environmentalism, which often goes to education mm-hmm. and job opportunities mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's very dynamic, and there's a lot of work to do, yeah.
Definitely, and that's where the ACN comes into play.
Yeah.
You know, because we consist of so many countries within the continent of Africa that we're able to share and discuss some of the major concerns of our countries, and not just in the continent, but also here in the United States.
Right.
And it's about bringing attention to those issues and garnering support, and also mobilizing people to learn more about the history to move forward once
mm-hmm.
again. And that's where the education comes comes
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say we're working closely with, again, schools, universities such as Virginia State University, and we want people just everyone, no matter what's your background, age, you know, where you're from, we want you to be a part of the ACM because it's about unity. And we do have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yes, African Community Network. So we ask people to go onto Facebook, log on, become a member, become a fan, become a friend of ours, and get to understand some of the things that we're doing in the community. We also have on that Facebook page a posting of our blog, one of our new blogs that we're using to engage people and start conversations all around the globe to effect change and make the world really a better place for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. I'm glad you did that. Do you have anything else that you wanted to be sure and say?
Oh, well, all I have is that, you know, we Africans, American, and all over the world, especially we Africans, we have to unite and try to help our people back home and bring awareness of all what is going on to help make the place a better place. Mm-hmm. Because Africa is rich in and very rich in different resources. So the problem is, how do we find a way to bring out our resources and help others so that they don't suffer as much, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And the website again is mosop.org.
www.mosop.org.
Okay. MOSOP.org. So I invite everyone to check out both the ACN Facebook and the blog site through that, and then also the website for learning more about the situation with the Ogoni people in Nigeria, and the oil. Understand the oil. Boy, if you can track the oil, you can track a lot of stories, a lot of movements, a lot of struggles, and everybody should be able to relate to that.
Absolutely.
So, that's right.
Yeah. No, it's very good. I want to thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And I look forward to scheduling another visit so that we can delve a little bit deeper and maybe talk about some other aspects of both the Igbo and the Riverside.
River State,
yes. and the Ogoni, and I forgot really quick. I got 1 minute, right? But in the Charlottesville Waynesboro area, there's a Living History Museum. I always call it that, and I know that's not the right name, but they have created homesteads from different places that were in existence, again historical, and they have most recently built an Igbo compound up there.
Wow,
great
with Igbo artisans. So
beautiful.
You have been listening to The Defenders Live as I get thrown off the air for this Monday. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank Osita Iroebu and Rose Ndani for joining me, talking a little bit about Nigeria, a little bit about the ACN, and look forward to talking to you again next week. Please keep in mind the inmates of the Richmond City Jail. There is no air conditioning and it is hot. And we need to keep them in our thoughts and our prayers and our minds as we move forward. Keep up the struggle, and we will talk to you next week.
You're talking so sweet, well, you needn't. You say you won't cheat, well, you needn't. You're tapping your feet, well, you needn't. It's over now, it's over now. You're dressing with class, well, you needn't. You're holding your sass, well, you needn't. You think you're a gas, well, you needn't.